Today on The Grave Talks, Spirit Guides, a conversation with Jen Johns. What is a spirit guide? Does everyone have a spirit guide? Or is it only a select few who are privileged enough to have guidance from the other side? These are some of the questions one may ask when inquiring about a concept that's as common as breathing air to others. Today we discuss the world of spirit guides with Jen Johns, their role with the living, and how one can better understand and communicate with the other side.
It was actually at a really young age. I first got into it when my mother started going to do tarot card readings, or she would go and get them, or she would visit a psychic or anything like that. And she would usually take me with her, not into the room per se, but usually this would be in a metaphysical bookstore or something of that sort. So I would be waiting for her and looking around at all of this stuff, and immediately I was just drawn to it, like I was meant to do it or meant to be involved in it somehow. After all of these readings, things started to kind of kick in, and for some reason I started finding interest in Ouija boards, which I didn't have any previous knowledge of other than maybe seeing it on a television show or a movie or something like that. But so I started making them, since my mom wouldn't buy me one. Gosh, I was really young, probably 8 years old or so. And I'm over here using manila folders to make them, and or pieces of paper, things like that, drawing my own designs. And ironically enough, they would actually work. And I couldn't figure that out, how it was actually working with just me, but for some reason it did. And so the first paranormal experience I actually had was a shadow figure appeared in my room one night. My mom was at work, or maybe she went to the store, I'm not really sure. But so I was home alone, I was in my bedroom. Everything seemed to be going fine. I look in the hallway, and there's this huge dark figure standing in the hallway, just completely blocking out the light. And I turned my head, and there was fear there, but the fear I felt was, what is this thing doing in my apartment? More in, instead of, oh my God, what is that? So it's kind of a strange reaction to have, but that was how I felt about it. And then I turned back because I heard my mom's keys in the front door, and it was totally gone. So that was my first experience with the paranormal, and I've pretty much have been in it ever since.
So tell me more about how your mom was interested in these things, into tarot cards and things of that nature, and you're at the bookstore. What was your knowledge of what your mom was into, and what was she doing?
The only thing she wanted to do really was get readings. She doesn't do them herself or anything. She does have her own abilities, but they're not real strong. She just kind of, I don't know if she fully accepts them, actually. When I was little and I was seeing all these things, hearing them, I could sense presences and things like that. She thought it was just me being a kid with an imagination and all that. So as far as with her stuff, she was going to get tarot card readings or psychic readings, anything she could get. She was, you know, the typical woman, like the clients that come to me for readings, actually. how's their love life going? Where's it going? Or is she going to get married again? Is she going to have another kid? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was anything, you know, real serious. She pretty much wanted a heads up on what's coming up.
Sure. So you see your mom, you know, being into this and believing it and helping other people with it. And then you start making your own Ouija boards. Was your mom using Ouija boards at all? Or, I mean, I know you said that she would not let you have one, but what led you down the road of thinking, well, okay, well, tarot cards are something that's going on here. What led you to think Ouija boards would go into some direction?
Well, the thing is with my mom, she always went to other people. She didn't read the cards herself. Okay. She never had a tarot deck or anything like that. She never had anything of that sort in the house. Mm-hmm. So, and she was not somebody that could read people or anything like that. Her ability was more, she would dream about somebody or think about someone that she hadn't seen in years. Like all of a sudden it would just be real strong for a day or two. And then she would get a phone call to find out that they passed away. Mm-hmm. So those are the types of ability that she, or the ability that she has. I do feel like she has pretty strong intuition. And now over all these years and finding out what I actually had gone through that she didn't know about, she's now the one calling me all the time to tell me about the paranormal activity that her and my daughter have in their house.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me about your journey into, you were making your own Ouija boards yourself. Tell me, you know, you had mentioned that you were surprised that they seemed to work. Uh-huh. Tell me about those experiences, like specifically, like, how did some of those go where you really had those moments going, oh, this works?
Well, in moments like that, I mean, they would warn me that something was going to happen, or I can't remember specifically what they were saying to me when I was a kid, but I do definitely remember that they were telling me things, and just like in ghost form, they don't always tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. For one thing, they are just like how they were when they were alive. So if they were a jokester and they thought it was funny, they would tell you what they think you want to hear just to see your reaction. Because it's funny. So, it wasn't until my later years, and I say later as in, you know, having grown up a bit, but this was probably, gosh, my early 30s or so. Mm-hmm. And I was warned that day I was going to be in a car accident. And I thought, I'm only going to work, which is a mile away. So how, I just don't see that happening. And sure enough, I did. Wow. So, but what I came to realize is that it was mostly my spirit guides that actually were coming through to me on the board. When they would tell me something like that to give me a heads up, it was a spirit guide, no doubt. It wasn't a ghost, because ghosts are stuck in a realm and they don't know what your future is. How could they possibly know anything? Mm-hmm. They don't know anything beyond themselves and what's going on right now. So I figured out that it was my spirit guide's way of connecting with me. Nowadays, I don't need to use the board to talk to my spirit guides. I can just do it directly and I hear them and it's all good. But for the longest time, that's what I used my boards for, was to talk to my spirit guides, because I didn't know how to connect with them otherwise. And they were real patient with me, and they finally got through to me. And like I said, now I'm able to do it without the board. But that's not to say that I still don't use the board now and then to connect purposefully with ghosts, because I've had people invite me to be like a guest psychic in their group and go with them to a haunted location, and they want me to bring a board. So, mm-hmm. And so I do. And it's really funny, because the information I get through the board is actually from the person that we just saw, or we see a minute later, or an EVP that gets captured. It all goes hand in hand, and so it makes it more valid. So it's really cool, but I don't use boards on a regular basis anymore. Mm-hmm. That was a childhood thing, because I thought, man, you know, I don't have a whole lot of friends anyway, and I'm home a lot because I was a homebody. and so I was always connecting on the board because I could talk to somebody.
Sure. There's a lot to unpack. There are a lot of questions I have kind of regarding everything you just said. Let's first kind of talk about the Ouija boards and what, you know, what they can do, what they can't do. Because quite a bit of what we hear about these days is, you know, using a Ouija board or using other devices to communicate with the other side. Ghost boxes being one of the more common things that we see outside of EVPs. Are you familiar with ghost boxes where it scans the frequencies and things of that nature?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. So I'm very interested to hear your opinion on the difference between something like a Ouija board and something like that, where you're asking questions, but you're relying on another device to kind of give you what you're looking for. What is there a difference, and what is it, if there is a difference?
Well, actually, I consider all of those things tools. Mm-hmm. I don't see them as harmful. What makes it harmful is the person using it. And what I mean by that is it all has to do with your intention. What are you trying to reach out to? Are you protecting yourself? Are you making sure that nothing's going to come through and follow you home? There's a lot of things to consider. And all of these devices, the board, the ghost box, even digital recorder, anything that you're using to reach out to the dead, including yourself, mm-hmm. is a tool. And they can come through any of it, and any of it can become what they call a portal. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter which one you're using. You can actively cause yourself some difficulties bringing something through if you're not careful.
And let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, is there a way, because, you know, Ouija boards, obviously, you hear everywhere, oh, don't use them, don't use them, don't use them. Mm-hmm. And I jokingly on our other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, where people write in and call in their stories, that we don't do a lot of interviews over there. We have what we call Ouija Awareness Month. We just kind of joke.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, we kind of joke about it in October. But at the same point, it's tongue in cheek, but it's still, you know, somewhat serious, because I would say, you know, not even 9 out of 10, I'd say 99 out of 100 stories are going to not end well when someone is using a Ouija board. Is there a way, you know, and I've heard many a stories, you know, over the years, because we literally have the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created on these programs.
That's awesome.
But is there ever a way to use a board without danger? I mean, is there a correct way that, I mean, I know there is a correct way, quote unquote, but is there truly a correct way where, you know, it's, you know, kind of bulletproof, where you're okay to use this thing and it's not going to put yourself at risk by any means?
I believe that there is. Okay. You know, I'm 47 years old, and I've been making and using them since I was 8. Mm-hmm. And I've never had anything bad come through and cause problems, ever. Now, when I was younger, I was being protected undoubtedly by my guardian angels. Now, though, I take precautions, and I'm very careful about it. Because I am more advanced, and being a psychic, they are drawn to me. So I would say that, you know, for anybody that's going to use one, you're going to have to kind of tap into your own belief system. You know, if you have a certain belief in a certain religion or practice or anything like that, you have to implement it. And I say this about any investigation, not just the board. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to do an EVP session, you have to do the same thing. Or if you're going to do a psychic session, you have to do the same thing. And for me, as an example, I call on Archangel Michael and Archangel Azrael. Azrael can help remove the dead and get them to where they need to go. And so he can pull them back and prevent them from getting to you. And of course, Archangel Michael, he's going to prevent anything from attaching to you as well. So for me, I have my own thing. You know, I'll ask him to join the session and make sure that nothing evil comes out of it, you know, or creates any kind of portal or anything. And then I do the same thing after, you know, and I might burn some sage or some Palo Santo. If I have a group of people, I will sage all of them, and tell the spirits, you are not allowed to follow anyone. You have to stay where you are, come back where you came from. Nobody wants you with them. Stay back. And I mean, as a general rule, it seems to work.
When you do those sort of things and you call upon something like the Archangel Michael and things of that nature, tell me about that. I mean, can go into a little more depth on how that process works. I mean, I understand it's kind of a prayer process, but tell right. me, like, what exactly are you asking them to do? I mean, for kind of the layman out there, it's quite an idea. I mean, because it's like, okay, it's kind of a thought process of, well, why would, you know, they're the Archangel Michael, you know, and there's the whole world out there. I'm sitting here and I'm investigating one thing, you know, in a cemetery or something, quote unquote. Uh-huh. Why would that individual or that angel have the time to pay attention to me while I'm doing this when there's so many other horrible things going on in this world? How does that work? I mean, just kind of give me the thought process on it, because I think that's kind of a plateau for a lot of people where they feel, I don't know, like maybe unapproachable, or they don't want to even attempt it because they don't feel like it may be, you know, something that they're not worthy of, if you will.
Right. Well, this is why I say that your belief system or your faith comes into play. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on, you know, where you come from, what you believe in. If you don't believe in angels, then, you know, what is your belief system? You know, there has to be some kind of protection in everything, I believe. Mm-hmm. Whether you're religious or you're a Wiccan or you're, you know, you believe in the North's beliefs. I mean, it can go any direction. And it's, so it's not just Archangel Michael. That's just my preference.
Sure.
Because I work with him often when I do readings and things like that. So, yeah, I do call on him. And the belief with the angels is that they can be anywhere at any time. Mm-hmm. They can be in multiple places at one time.
Okay.
So they, you know... And from what I know, having worked with them for years, they always say, call on me anytime. Mm-hmm. It's the people that don't call on them that, you know, because they're only going to help you if you ask for it. Yeah. They're not going to come help you, you know, otherwise. They want you to ask because they want the permission. So, like for me, you know, if I'm going to do something... You know, like I said, I'll light some Palo Santo or some sage or something like that. Frankincense and myrrh incense. I mean, that's just my ritual. Mm-hmm. I'll burn it and I'll call them and say, you know, I'm about to do a Ouija board session and I need you to protect and make sure that nothing comes through that shouldn't come through and that nothing remains. I mean, it's pretty simple and straightforward. You just ask what you want them to do.
And let me ask you about that a little
bit. And they do the rest.
In that direction, because it is a belief system, and you have to kind of you have to believe in what you're praying to or asking, you know, for something to do.
Right.
And this is just an opinion question. I just want to dig into this a little bit. Is this something, because obviously you talk about, you know, anyone can talk about different religions throughout the world, different belief systems. And, you know, one may call upon their angels, their spirit guides, whatever it may be within those systems. At the end of the day, are we all talking about the same belief system, but we're giving it different names? Like, for example, you know, you are telling me you call upon the Archangel Michael. Right. Is that Archangel Michael, does he go by another name with another belief system? But it's the same thing. It's the same being, but because of another culture, because of another way of upbringing or things of that nature, that someone, you know, they give it a different name, a different belief system, but at the end of the day, you know, is the Archangel Michael sitting there going, I have like 20 different names because of all these different systems?
It is a distinct possibility. And that's why I say it's what's important about doing this is your faith in whoever it is that you're calling, even if it is the same person and you're using that name for you is where your faith is. And that's where your strength comes from.
Okay.
So you are basically pulling that to you, and that alone, your faith, will keep you protected. I mean, you know, and the group you're with, just because you believe with everything you are that you are protecting these people, you know.
It's an interesting one to square up, just because, you know, you have different religions and many claim, you know, they are the one true and that's it, but different ones will all seem to have the same sort of effect on something like this, and that's where it kind of makes me go, well, maybe they're all really doing the same thing. It's just they have different names because of different cultures and different places in the world and different times and places and all that. And it's all ended up with different, basically verbiage at the end of the day.
Right. I find it would be far more dangerous if you don't believe in anything.
Yeah.
Because that makes you kind of an open portal yourself. And that can be dangerous.
Sure.
And that's why I say it's really important for whatever your belief system is, that's what you pull into it.
Sure.
If you don't, and you know, I believe in God, but then you don't call on any help, then what happens? You don't get protected, right? Because you have to ask for it. Asking is the biggest part of the whole process. If you don't ask, they can't help.
Sure. Do you believe everyone has spirit guides that surround them, whether they are aware of them or not?
Absolutely. So, and I say that because the ones that I've encountered, and I have encountered other people's spirit guides, not just mine, a lot of them strangely end up being relatives or really close friends, things of that nature. And I sound a lot, one of my best friends passed away when he was only 30 something years old, from a stroke. And he actually chose to be one of my spirit guides. So he's around me all the time. And I've actually had other people with a similar ability to mine deliver messages to me from him, and they didn't know what he was talking about, but I did. So, everybody's got them. You've got, from my knowledge, from what they've told me, is there's always one that comes with you when you're born, and it stays with you your whole entire life. But then you also have guides that have chosen to be one of your guides after they've passed away. Like I said, like a family member or friend or somebody you were close to.
So,
because they love you enough that they have concern for you, and that's what they choose to do.
So, I mean, tell me about the initial one to begin with, and I want to dig into the additional spirit guides that can kind of come on throughout life based on relationships and things of that nature. But the one that you get to begin with, is that someone? I mean, I think the initial thought everyone always has is, oh, it's a grandma or a grandpa, or it's, you know, I mean, because that's the easy thing that everyone does. I mean, when there's a haunting too, it's like, oh, it's grandma or grandpa, or it's aunt or uncle. And it's it's not always that by any means. But in terms of your spirit guide, is your initial spirit guide someone who was, you know, in relation to your family, or is it just kind of like some random person out there, or even was it a person at all? Like, was it a living human being? Are your spirit guides sometimes not someone who ever really walked the earth, period?
That is also possible. In my own experience, and what they've told me is that before you come into your new life, because I'm fully on board with the reincarnation thing. Mm-hmm. So what they say is that they made a contract with you before you came into this life. Like, you had an agreement. And you're absolutely correct when you're saying it's not always family. I'm not even sure if my guide was ever in a life either. But the way he appears to me, he appears like in his late 20s. He's got red hair. He's got a goatee. I mean, I've seen him.
Yeah.
And I don't know him. Like, he's not a family member of mine at all. He feels like it now after all these years, but... previous to that, I don't think he's been here before. So that's why I say that it is possible. Mm-hmm. With the way that my belief system is that we're all connected. And I'm talking about connected with cryptids, connected with, what people refer to as supernatural beings. I think we're connected to, you know, it's our universes are, you know, intertwined. I think it's all one. So I don't think there's really that much separation. Mm-hmm. And I know that's going to sound nutty to some people, but
On our show, nothing sounds nutty, so we're good.
Well, people are like, what? What do you mean we're related to aliens? Well, I mean, you know, you could think that we just all of a sudden, poof, here we are, but I don't think that's the way it happened, mm-hmm. and I don't particularly think that evolution was either a thing either, because... there's so many different species, so it doesn't make sense that it would branch off into, you know, 20 different species of fish, or whatever. There's something more to it. And I just feel like my version of God is everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I think of the source. We all come from the source. And I just call it God because that's the easiest thing to call it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that God is, you know, picking and choosing and making decisions and favoring other people over other people or favoriting a football team. I mean, I just don't think that that's something that somebody can, you know, I just don't see God as like a human type being. And I see God as everything.
So you're telling me when a football team, you know, prays or makes some sort of sign of the cross right before they do a field goal, it doesn't mean shit, is basically
what you're saying. Really doesn't. I learned long ago to stop praying for things that I want too, because it's like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah. He's not sitting there going, there's starving children all over the world, but yes, let's make sure you get that touchdown.
Right.
You millionaire who throws a ball. Yes. Let me put all the power towards that.
Please let my team win.
Yes. Let's put all the effort over here. tell me about, your spirit guides. You had told me, you see what they look like. Tell me about them. How does that happen? How do you see them? How do you get to the level of, you said you originally kind of discovered this through using a Ouija board, but then over time kind of progressed into not having to do that to hear and get guidance from them outside of that. Tell me about that journey and how that transitioned for you.
Again, I really wasn't sure about a whole lot of things until the more recent years, because I'm becoming closer to what they call the croning age. So I'm a bit wiser at this point. But as far as being able to see, I can't see them like looking at someone, like someone solid standing in front of me. It's not like that. For me as a psychic, the way I see them is telepathically. It's the same way I connect with the dead. It's telepathically. So I telepathically can see things, hear things, pick up on energies and things like that. But the first time I ever saw my spirit guide was through a meditation. I did one of those guided meditations, and it worked. And I saw him, and I've been able to see him ever since. So
did it kind of like open a door for you?
It did. Yeah. Yeah. I throw meditation at everybody that needs, self-help. I'm telling you, it works.
Yeah.
It does, because it forces you to go into yourself. And when you go into yourself, you can open up those doors. That's the only way it's going to get unlocked.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Jen Johns about spirit guides. In part two, how does one connect with their spirit guides? Why don't ghosts always tell us the truth when giving the living a message? How does one stay safe from negative energy or entities coming in to communicate with the living? And how are we as the living connected with the idea of cryptids? Those questions and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up to be one at patreon.com/thegravetalks, or go to our website, thegravetalks.com, and click Become a Gravekeeper. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material and more, advanced episodes of the show, the whole archive, and of course, all of those part twos of our conversations. Again, patreon.com/thegravetalks. We thank you for your support. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Brisky. Thanks for listening.